This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're back. We're talking with Diana Steele. She is a registered dietitian, the owner of Eating for Energy. It's a nutrition consulting company in the Lower Mainland. And Diana, before the break, we were talking about some soy products or foods for reducing cholesterol. But I want to talk to you about dairy allergies and people that are trying to avoid dairy. How many people are allergic to dairy in the given population in North America?
I can't tell you the exact numbers for allergies, but certainly there are people that have, whether it's an intolerance, so a lactose intolerance, for example, so that is the inability to digest the sugar, lactose, that's in milk, or an actual allergy to the casein or the whey, which are the two proteins that are in milk. There is a significant group of people that are unable to consume cow's milk, and therefore the rise in popularity and consumption of fortified soy beverages and fortified almond beverages, and now cashew beverages are also available. And the benefit of having all of these, of course, if you're lactose intolerant, it's very uncomfortable to have something that has lactose in it. So to be able to choose something like a fortified soy beverage, it's nutritionally the most equivalent to a glass of milk. So it has soy protein in it, which will mimic the amount of protein that you're getting from a glass of cow milk. It's also going to have the same amount of calcium and vitamin D and B12 as cow's milk. So a fortified soy beverage is actually on Canada's food guide and considered an equivalent. So if you weren't having a glass of milk, you could have a glass of fortified soy beverage as your milk or alternative serving. And so adults are encouraged to have 2 servings per day, and teens 3 to 4 servings per day. Mm.
Are there many products available for people nowadays that are lactose intolerant?
Sorry, are there many people?
Many products available for people that are lactose intolerant. Like, how hard is it to live with a...
Oh, it's easy. Even yogurt, if you're lactose intolerant, you can consume it because the bacteria in yogurt consume the lactose. So most yogurts are about 99% lactose-free anyhow. And then you can even find lactose-free milks, and then there's obviously the fortified beverages. But a small amount of lactose used in cooking, so if you were making cookies, for example, that had milk in it, there's not enough lactose to be a concern for someone who has lactose intolerance. The protein, on the other hand, because it's an allergy, not just an intolerance, you would have to avoid completely. So in that case, you could use a fortified soy beverage in a recipe that called for milk as an equivalent. So if you normally would use a cup of milk, you can use a cup of soy milk to make your French toast, for example, or your frittata.
You mentioned soy protein before, when we were talking earlier. What is that consistency for mixing up, and how would people use it?
So a soy protein or just any kind of soy product?
Well, I think you were talking about soy proteins earlier on.
Yeah, so including soy protein in your diet and getting, 25 grams of soy protein, there's lots of different ways that you could include it. You could go for a tofu, so you could use chopped up tofu added into a stir fry in place of chicken, for example, or do vegetable kebabs on the barbecue with chunks of tofu that were marinated in olive oil and balsamic vinegar, maybe some herbs. You could use edamame, which is the soy bean itself, green, and it's... you can throw it into a pasta salad. You could have it as a snack. You can blend those into a dip for your vegetables. Of course, the fortified soy beverages, like So Good and So Nice that I was mentioning, can be used in making smoothies, which is a really easy breakfast thing. So you could take some frozen berries and a banana and your soy milk and blend it all together and have a delicious breakfast smoothie to go. If you're doing it for heart health, you could also add in some oats perhaps and some ground flaxseed, and you'll really get a lot of nutritional punch for reducing your risk for heart disease. And then even soy nuts, you could snack on those, sprinkle them onto a granola, for example, or on top of your yogurt.
Mm. In terms of, you mentioned oats and soluble fiber. What benefit, what does that really do for the body?
Well, fiber has many different functions, but the soluble fiber, in particular for heart health, what it's doing is absorbing some of that cholesterol from the gut and removing it through bowel movement. So you are excreting the cholesterol that normally would have been absorbed and going into your bloodstream. So consuming soluble fiber within your meals by having things like oats and psyllium husk and eating apples, even fruits and vegetables, they all have soluble fiber in them to varying degrees. And then, you know, regular, just insoluble fiber just acts as a bulking agent and helps to, you know, slough off the dead cells within your intestinal tract and keep you regular, which is just healthy for our normal bacterial flora and GI health overall.
You know, one of the big concerns of people, these are, you know, a certain percentage of the population, is the amount of wheat or wheat products that we're eating. And as a dietitian, is that a real concern? Is that a valid concern?
For someone who has celiac disease, they would have to avoid wheat, rye, and barley. So those would be significant sources of carbohydrates that if they were normally eating, they would need to replace that source of energy with a different type of grain. And there are lots of grains available these days. So if you're not able to eat the wheat, rye, and barley, you can go for grains like quinoa or buckwheat, which would be easily, you know, you can cook quinoa just like you do regular rice and have that as a grain. In fact, I had some on my salad today for lunch.
So Diana, what about the gluten-free alternatives? Are they healthy in most cases?
Well, not all. So you really have to read your labels. I mean, the gluten-free thought for some consumers happens to have a health halo effect on it. So people believe that if it says gluten-free, that it must be healthy. But in fact, a lot of the muffins and cookies and cakes that are out there are just muffins, cookies, and cakes. They just happen not to have gluten in them. Mm-hmm. So they've added in different products, like a refined white rice or a tapioca starch, which has very little nutritional value, piled in a whole bunch of sugar and fat and made it another cookie. So you still have to think of those cookies as cookies, which are sort of extras. When you're looking at eliminating gluten from your diet, you really need to look still for whole foods that can help replace the grains that you were eating before that were whole grain and unprocessed and still full of nutrients and antioxidants.
Mm. So I guess it's, you know, if people are going to gluten-free to lose weight, for example, as the book Wheat Belly suggests, then they'd really need to be careful about what they were eating.
Well, and gluten does not cause weight gain. Wheat does not cause weight gain. It's all really about your portion sizes and what else you're consuming with those foods. You can't really blame obesity on one particular food. It has to do with so many different factors: the amount of exercise you have, how much sugar and fat are coming with the foods that you're consuming, and your overall portion size.
There seems to be a trend towards coconut oil. What are the benefits, what's the relationship to that and cholesterol levels?
Yeah, at one point we thought that, or not me, but the researchers thought that all saturated fats must be bad and that they all will increase your LDL cholesterol. But coconut oil is primarily a medium-chain triglyceride, and the way that our bodies process that medium-chain fat is it goes directly to the liver, and it does not seem to increase our LDL cholesterol. So you could consume a coconut oil instead of, you know, butter, for example, and it would not have a negative impact on your LDL cholesterol. It's still not a fat that I would say would be better than having an olive oil or another plant oil that's liquid at room temperature, something that has more omega-3 fats in it, for example, which would be very good for your heart.
Diana, what do you see as the upcoming trends of where people are going to be looking for in terms of nutrition?
Well, I think people are looking at whole foods, foods that have very few ingredients and ingredients that they know and recognize, coming back to the basics and not having as much processed foods. Really, health professionals are encouraging consumers to cut back on salt. So that's definite. Lower sodium foods are becoming more prevalent. There's still the trend of having things that are free of, so the gluten-free and the sugar-free and fat-free and free of GMOs and, you know, all of those types of things. I think consumers are reading their food labels more and making decisions based on that. Whether it's a valid reason why they're making the choice, is it for health or is it just because it makes them feel better or whatever it might be, those are definitely there. There are different beverages coming into market, probiotics, so those are definitely some trends to watch for. Mm.
In terms of the diet pops, I noticed today that in the States, Pepsi has decided to take aspartame out of their diet products or diet pop in the States, but they're not doing so in Canada. Is there any relationship between aspartame and health concerns in your view?
Well, the literature within the quantity that is considered safe, so there is an upper limit, but if you're consuming it within that safety amount, the literature seems to show that it is considered safe by all scientific literature that's out there. So I think that part of the reason why, you know, Pepsi would be making this change is consumer pressures to have an alternative sweetener out there. There's a lot of research going on with the artificial sweeteners and whether or not it does actually help with obesity in the first place, because I don't think it does. So, you know, I would rather people not have the pop at all, whether it's diet or regular, and go for something that's actually giving you some sort of nutritional value, like your calcium and your vitamin D from a fortified soy beverage. So whether the change is actually going to affect anyone's health, I don't know. Splenda is an artificial sweetener that is not absorbed by the body and goes right through your system. And it's considered the artificial sweetener of choice by the Diabetes Association in Canada.
Diana, you know, in terms of pop itself, can that contribute to cholesterol or heart disease? How many calories are we consuming when we drink a pop, how bad is it for us?
In one can of Coke, you're going to get 9 teaspoons of sugar. So that certainly is adding to the total sugar consumption. When you look at the World Health Organization wanting to have Canadians or the world reduce their total sugar to no more than 10% of their total calories, that's only, you know, 50 grams. And a can of pop is going to give you about 42 grams. So obviously the pop is going to contribute significantly to the amount of sugar that you're consuming. And excess calories coming in from beverages, we don't tend to reduce the amount of food that we eat when we're drinking a lot of extra calories. So it would end up adding to the total calories rather than taking away from something else. And therefore, overconsumption of calories leads to obesity, which is the risk factor for heart disease. And we know that increased sugar intake and obesity are risk factors for heart disease.
Diana, thanks for coming on the show today. It's been great having you.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. That's it for this week's show. I want to thank Reg Fair, producer, and thank you for listening. Thank you to producers across the country that are making the show available to you. Have a great, healthy week.